Okay, so let us get started. And Larry Clarkson has volunteered to open us up with prayer. So, Larry, over to you.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning for the opportunity we have to meet as family members of Deer Springs Ranch. We ask for thy blessing to be in our hearts and minds. We pray that we can conduct the business of the ranch and do so in a pleasing manner to thee. We pray that we can be good members and good neighbors. And we ask a blessing, Father, for any of our members who may be suffering from illness or injury, and we pray for those who are traveling. We pray for their safe return. And we ask these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Larry. And I want to take a minute and just go over the basic guidelines for our Zoom meeting. We do this every time, and I do this because if I don't do it, I get in trouble with Jennifer. And I don't want to get in trouble with Jennifer. So just a reminder that thank you. So a reminder that we are recording the meeting and we use a transcription service at the end of the meeting to actually create a written document of minutes, which becomes part of the forever file for Deer Springs Ranch. So please keep yourself muted unless you want to make a comment or answer a question. And in that case, if you are going to be talking, please preface any comment or answer with your name. You know, hi, this is Mike McNichols, Lot 270, and I think Jennifer is fantastic. So just preface any comments with your name and lot number. And then we also have a chat feature as part of the Zoom recording down at the bottom. You'll see you can click on the chat function, and then that gives you the ability to send a message either to a single individual or to the whole group. And Jennifer is much better at managing that whole chat function than I am. And so if she sees a question that should be answered on behalf of everyone, she's very good about answering those questions. And I think I covered everything, Jennifer. Anything I missed?
Nope, you get an A.
Yay! What do I have to do next time to get an A+?
We'll work on that.
Okay. So on item number 2, I asked Jennifer to add this item to our agenda just because I wanted to take a couple of minutes right at the beginning of our meeting instead of waiting till the end to give everybody an update on a situation that we've had at the ranch for the last couple of months. I think most of the people on the call probably already know about this. Some may not have even heard about it, so you may be hearing about this for the first time. But I'm concerned that there might be some misinformation out there or misunderstandings out there, and I just wanted to address it right up front, make sure everybody understands exactly what happened, why it happened, and what we're doing for the future. Okay, so if you haven't heard already, we had a situation that started a couple of months ago. One of the lot owners up in Slide Canyon, this is not a secret. Her name is Tez Lyons. She owns lot number 301. She's a younger female. was trying to live on her lot up in Slide Canyon through the winter with, you know, really inadequate facilities. And she has 5 dogs. She has several horses. Well, I don't know how many horses, but she has a lot of animals. And what happened is there was a situation that came up where one of the other lot owners up in Slide Canyon, further up the canyon, just had a horse show up on their property one day. And so that other owner called the sheriff, not knowing why there was a lot, a horse just wandering around on their lot. So the sheriff came out, did a welfare check, and ultimately found out that that horse was one of Tez's horses that had gotten off of her lot. And as a result, the horse got back to the lot. And then shortly after that, she was trying to get hay up to her lot in her van because her 4-wheel drive truck had been broken down. And her van got stuck on the road up in Slide Canyon, and she abandoned her van. At the point where Larry found her van, Larry told me that the snow was halfway up the side of the van, and he was concerned that when he walked up to the van and looked through the driver's window, he was going to find a dead body. So that's how dire the situation was at the time. And in response to all of this, Kurt became involved. Kurt offered Tez the opportunity to, hey, you know, come down to headquarters. You know, there's nobody staying in cabin number 8 right now. We usually don't have people staying in the cabins during the winter anyway. And, you know, he was very concerned about her safety, her physical safety. So basically said, hey, come down to cabin 8. You can stay there, you know, and be safe. You can bring your animals down. You can use the corrals down at headquarters and, you know, basically try to come up with a resolution to an emergency situation that was very unique, very out of the ordinary. So that happened. Tez went down, stayed in cabin 8, took all of her animals down. They were staying in the corrals and then unfortunately got into a situation where she could not get back to her lot. Due to road conditions and other conditions. And so bottom line is Tez ended up staying in cabin number 8 for a extended period of time that was not planned on, very, very open-ended situation. That is now resolved. Tez is now going back up to her lot as of today. And in response to the ranch allowing her to stay in cabin 8 for an extended period of time, she has agreed to pay the ranch a significant amount of money to compensate the ranch for, you know, the expense for propane and any other, you know, hassles or issues that came up. So it was very nice of her to offer to pay the ranch for the time that she spent there. But as a result of what has happened, it's caused us as a board to make the decision that from now on, the ranch manager only has the authority to authorize a 24-hour stay in any cabin on an emergency basis without getting the approval of other board members. And I will tell you that if I was in an emergency situation or my kids or my grandkids, I would want Kurt to do the exact same thing he did. Because as far as I'm concerned, and I know as far as Kurt is concerned, the fact that we're even having this conversation today is validation that he did the right thing. Because many of you will probably remember hearing on the news about 2 weeks before this whole thing happened. It was all over the national news that a family of 4 literally froze to death in their car when they were trying to get from Canada into the USA. That literally happened only a couple of weeks before this whole situation that we're talking about right now. So I would much rather be talking about what we're talking about instead of talking about a DSR lot owner who, you know, died because she froze in her van or on her lot. So it was one of those unfortunate situations that wasn't anticipated, it wasn't expected, but it happened. And now it has been resolved, and we've also established the policy so that it will never happen again. So I just wanted to put all that out there so everybody is clear on what happened, why it happened, and the fact that, you know, we now have policies in place to ensure that it won't happen again. The good news is the cabins are usually vacant in the winter anyway. And to my knowledge, and Jennifer, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but to my knowledge, there was only one other owner that was actually inconvenienced by the fact that Tez was in cabin number 8. There was another owner that had a reservation to stay in that cabin, and they were actually accommodated by just having them stay in a different cabin, and that owner was okay with it. So it's not like it had a major impact on the ranch overall. But it certainly had a major impact on a handful of individuals that were directly involved. Okay, so really that's all I want to say about it. If anybody does want to talk to me personally, I'll be happy to do that. But I don't want to take any more time in our meeting today. So if you do want to have a personal conversation with me, either to get clarification or more information or provide suggestions, anything along those lines, I'm certainly happy to do that. Just send me an email, and we'll schedule a time so that we can have that phone call. All right, and next item on the agenda is number 3, presentation and approval of the February meeting minutes from Cindy/Jennifer. So take it away.
I just put Cindy and Jennifer because I didn't know if she'd actually depart from her Mexico vacation long enough. So Cindy, go ahead.
Thanks, Jennifer. I did make a correction to the minutes and sent them out to the board, and I got no other feedback, so I'm assuming they were approved. So I move we accept the minutes as submitted to the board for the February 2022 meeting.
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. If there are any opposed...
Aye.
Okay. Meeting minutes have been approved. Thank you very much. And once again, I will just say, Cindy, that I love the fact that you took over the responsibility for that job because nobody else wanted to do it, and you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Okay, and next we're moving on to Joe Bose for our treasurer's report. So take it away, Joe. Joe, you are still muted, if you can hear me.
Okay. I got into QuickBooks, which was interesting. And looks like we have about 70% of our dues are paid, which is good because March hasn't finished yet. We've got $131,000 in our checking, $61,200 in our savings, and $4,200 in the other savings. This was done about 3 days ago, and I was afraid I wouldn't be able to get in, so it might be a little different today, but it's pretty close. Don't have a whole lot to report, not really much going on yet as far as the manager's report is going to be more helpful than the treasury report because there's not much being spent that I'm aware of as far as what's going on. So that's all I got right now.
Thank you, Joe. Does anybody have any questions for Joe? Doesn't sound like it. Okay, thank you very much. And now we're moving on to Jennifer for our office report.
The two elements of my office report this month are related to what Joe just mentioned. We are integrating our board members into viewability into QuickBooks, which is something new and exciting. I don't think that's ever been the case except for the board treasurer. So we've gotten our user profiles invites sent out, and everybody's slowly but surely getting set up and floating their way through QuickBooks. As Joe said, it's interesting, different environment, but there's a couple of really unique factors, not only the shareability and transparency and visibility into our finances, what's in our bank accounts at any time, and where we stand with regard to collection of income in assessments, and where our expenses are. But also the integration that QuickBooks can provide with some of the other new tools that we're putting in place. So on the horizon, our QuickBooks system will be integrating with our new cabin reservation system, and our target date for that is May. Some of you may know Mariah has stayed on to manage some of the website task work as we get that launched, and so she and I have been working closely on getting that set up. And once it's set up, you all will have full control over setting up your own reservations. It won't be dependent on a person, me, responding to that email and getting you all the paperwork and the, you know, 20 to 25 minutes worth of time it takes me on my end, which usually translates into a day or two on your end, because this is just a part-time role. So QuickBooks Online is kind of a landmark thing for the ranch in dragging us into the technological 21st century. And then on the website, I've mentioned a few of the capabilities in brief reports prior to this. Obviously, the cabin reservation system is a big deal. But the other parts that will be made live as soon as we get it fully integrated with QuickBooks, because we don't want to launch the website and then say, oh, by the way, here's another change that you've got to face a month later. But some of those other elements of functionality are going to be chat groups, bulletin board postings, anybody looking for dirt work resources, anybody looking for knowledge on how to get a water system connected. And then monthly surveys. So I think everyone on this call is now in the cadence of receiving our monthly matters email, where I cover everything that's been gathered up in the previous 30 days. And most recently, there was a survey, and I really would love for everyone. I don't have the survey responses in front of me right now because I sent out another reminder with the link for this meeting. But I really would, if you haven't taken time to go through this month's survey, please take the time and do that. The link was put in not only this Zoom invite email, but also in the March monthly Member Matters email, because we really do want to know what you have to say, not only about the road signs on the ranch, but also the topics for the town hall that Mike has proposed us hosting in June on the ranch. So understanding what topics are of most interest to the membership so that we can get those covered and have resources ready is very important, I think, to all of us. So that is my report for this month.
Thank you, Jennifer. Anybody have any questions for Jennifer? Now's the time.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. This is Jeff. We used to get an accounting to date of the budget and incomes and all that stuff attached to the email about a board meeting, and I haven't seen that since last year sometime. And then
that
I was
is a very yep fair question. I'll start including it from here on out.
Okay. The other thing was, because we don't have those, I was on the website trying to look at the current budgets and all that stuff, and found that the budget on the DSR website is from 2019. So we don't even have accurate budget information on the website.
And I think that was a question that was addressed, I think it was last month's meeting, maybe, if you weren't on that one, Jeff. We were given counsel, and I think it was by Barry previously, that because our website is public, it's publicly accessed, it wasn't prudent to expose our budget and our spending to anyone, member or not, that could come to our website and review that. So that is why it wasn't posted for 2020 or 2021. But with our new website, everyone will have a username and a password to access that information, so it will then be available to all members because it'll be behind a login firewall. So you can look for that when we launch the new website.
Right. Okay.
Great questions.
Did she send in a current?
Yeah, I think that was all of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Anybody else have questions for Jennifer? And then, Jeff and Tina, just so you know, all the board members, we did get your email, and I haven't had a chance to respond to it yet, but I will, just so you know.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, this is Joe. I got a question for Jennifer.
Okay.
my hearing aids don't work real good with electronics. My question is, can closed caption be put on this to help me out a little bit?
Joe, I wish I had that technological capability to add that. Unfortunately, transcription is as good as it gets, and that's okay. After the fact.
So be it.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Well, actually, before we do that, anyone else have any questions for Jennifer? All right. Now moving on to Mr. Kurt Jacobson for an update on what's going on at the ranch.
Good morning, everyone. Update on cabin 6. The breakfast nook is done. All the staining, everything is done in cabin 6, except I need to connect the gas line with Brent's help to over the stove. And as soon as it dries out enough, I'll pull my workbenches over and I'll be doing concrete countertops for cabin 6. And also for cabin 4, Jeff and Tina put in a beautiful floor in cabin 7, and the bedroom is done now as well. So all the downstairs has been, has new flooring. The cause of that was a frozen water filter, and it busted and flooded the cabin, and it needed new floors anyhow. Upstairs, I have about 100 feet of material left over, and I'll be looking for another 100 feet to do the upstairs of cabin 7 as well. Yesterday I went down and, I did spend time with Jennifer on QuickBooks, and that was, eliminates the AP voucher need because you actually have photographs of all the transactions, and it's really a neat system, and I can do it as soon as I purchase something. I can take a picture with my phone and immediately it goes into the new QuickBooks program, and that's really slick. I'm still going to be using Google Docs for, because there's two sides of accounting, one that goes to your tax and tracking, and the other side is the accountability for your expenses and watching your budget so you don't go over budget. And until I learn how to do all that in QuickBooks, I'll be sticking with Google Docs for a period. I'm starting on the design for the cabin. I've got potato starts coming next week, onion starts, garlic starts, and I'm going to be working this next week in the garden, getting that set up. And I really... I'm hoping to spend more time at headquarters this year because I really want to show the potential of the garden that we, what we can really do in there. And that's about all I have. I'll be posting volunteer times and days for the garden for people who want to come and help this year. And I'll be looking for help also. Anybody have any questions?
Kurt, I have one question. Can you talk about what the plans are for Memorial Day weekend?
Well, we need to get together for Memorial weekend. We're definitely going to be doing a barbecue. I will not have access to Norris Church's smoker this year. And he volunteered that we could do the pork down in town and then I could bring it up. But I told him there's more than one way to skin a cat. And I'll probably do roast beef this year, and we'll just cook it in the garden cabin and headquarters. And as far as festivities go, in the last 2 years, we haven't had a lot of interest in other things. I think people just come up and they put their family plans together. So I think having the barbecue is really fun, and I'm going to try to, and I'm open to suggestions, maybe put some activities together that are actually during the barbecue, and possibly the scavenger hunt seems to be the most popular activity. So I definitely want to try to incorporate the scavenger hunt into that day.
All right. Thank you for that. And actually, this question is for you, Jennifer. Do we have a plan for sending out a spring newsletter?
We don't have a plan for sending one out via mail, but the monthly Member Matters email has kind of taken the place of that newsletter because it takes such a long production time. We could basically take the content in the Member Matters and format it in a letter that gets sent out via mail. With 280 members, it's a little bit of an undertaking, but it can be done.
I was just curious because I guess I just hadn't come to the realization yet that we don't do that anymore. So essentially what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, going forward, no, we're no longer planning to send out a newsletter periodically in the mail like we've done in the past, and instead we're just going to rely on the monthly Member Matters email to fulfill that role.
I think there's still a need to contact members that aren't active digitally. So I do think there is a need for at least a semi-annual mailer of some sort. So this may be a good time to do it. I think Vance took the opportunity to retire from newsletter once the change from Mariah to me happened, and I don't blame him for doing that. So we can keep it maybe more simple than formatting an entire newsletter and getting it printed in color and sending it out to all members, and just maybe make it a simple Word document that can be printed en masse, and I can do a hard mailer that way.
I like that idea because not everybody uses email, or not everybody checks their email.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea. I don't think we need to do it quarterly, but I do like the idea of maybe semi-annually.
Vance, what were you going to say?
Jennifer, it's Vance, since you guys are talking about me. I think your idea of just cobble together all the monthlies and send them out as a PDF, put a link on the website, done. You don't need to make a big deal out of it. You know?
No, that's fair.
You can't block you. It's up to you. And I don't mind if people will send me their content in a timely manner, air quotes around that. I don't mind putting it together, but it was the whole timely manner thing. I'm ready to go whenever anybody else is, but then nothing happens, you know? So,
mm-hmm. That's true. And you know, I'm chatting with Bruce McQueen here in the messages privately, and he brings up a good point, and that is that every time we do a member mailer, postage isn't cheap, you guys.
That's a good point.
There's that. But I do think we have a responsibility to communicate with members so semi-annually. I think we can probably find budget for that, but we do need to start slowly but surely edging away. To Vance's point, post it on the website. Even if someone doesn't check their email, if they want to know what's going on, they can just go to the website, and it should be posted right there.
Well, and to be honest with you, now that we're talking about it, you know, the fact that we are in the process of putting together the new website that's going to have all of the information there, then we don't have to worry about people checking their emails anymore. If people want to be involved, they go to the website. All the information is there. Actually, I think that's really the answer. So we probably don't need to spend postage on a semi-annual mailer once we get the new website up and functional.
This is well, the same reason you can't get them via email may be the reason they can't get them on the website, Mike.
Right.
Okay.
So
they got no internet at all. So that you don't forget about those folks.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think we could offer them an opt-in or opt-out of the digital. So we could do a one-time mailing saying, if you want to continue to get these physical mailings, let us know. And then it could just be a printout of what's being set out on by digital. But that way, then, we're reaching the people who don't do digital, because I know there's a few of us out there. Well, them.
And honestly, when I send out the email and hard mail to announce our new website and how to access it, I can put that information in that mailer as well, because if someone isn't digitally inclined, they're not going to get our digital communications about the new website. So I have to do it analog and send it out then. So maybe that's the point in time where we give them that opt-in. We explain how they can stay in touch, where they can find minutes, how they create a login if they want to, and all of that information. And that should hopefully we can do that in May, Mike, so that we can also announce the June town hall as well.
Sounds good to me. I like that. Okay. Any other questions for Kurt? Okay, so next item on our agenda is the reviewing the 2021 Consumer Confidence Report on DSR. So take it away, Jeff Nicholson.
Thank you. In 1996, the EPA made an amendment to the Safe Drinking Water Act, which required that each water system report and prepare a report, a annual quality summary to their customers to provide them information about their drinking water. And then Utah State Division of Drinking Water also adopted that. So it has to be published in the newspaper, or it has to be, depending on the size of your water system, provided to your customers so they're able to get the information. This last year, we had no extremely hazardous events. We had a few hiccups, but those were taken care of within the month, and everything looks fine for the year. This report will be on the website if it isn't already out there. But it has some instructions in there what to do if you have some health issues. It talks about how certain things in the water are normal. You know, chemicals in the water are normal, but we test monthly to make sure that the water is safe. We also have a flyer that I made available. Probably can't see this, but I had this last year that talks about how to protect your drinking water, and it goes through some of the things that a homeowner or a cabin owner can do on their lot to prevent cross-contamination and how to protect your drinking water once it's in your system. These are available, again, it's supposed to be on the website, but I have hard copies. Also, in summary, we used 766,000 gallons from the lower cabin water system. Each month I go out and I read the water meter. And as a side note, thank you, Joe Bose and Brent Fulmer, for getting the clear cover back onto the meter so I can read it without having it being difficult. But I read that every month, and then I took the numbers off of the meter and actually came up with that figure of 766,000 gallons. Our highest volume of pumping from the well was in July. most of the other months were less, but that was our peak month was July. Are there any questions about the Consumer Confidence Report or the Water Use Summary Report?
Jeff, this is Joe. You mentioned my name as far as that cover goes, but actually the credit goes to Cimarron Memorial High School. They're the group that made it for us.
Yeah, but you approached them and asked them, and they did it. So you had a part.
I talked to a friend of mine who works really well with that Lexan, and he suggested that we sandpaper the inside of that with 600 grit sandpaper and then hit it with a turbo torch, and it'll get a little more clarity through your lens.
Okay.
So we can do that. I told that to Brent, so as soon as he finds some 600 grit sandpaper, he can probably get that done.
Better make another one, please. If you're gonna apply a torch to it, make sure you got a spare.
We do have an extra one.
That's good advice.
I can see that going south in a big hurry.
That's all I have.
Thank you. We appreciate all the work you do, Jeff, on behalf of the ranch for the water system. Jeff is our certified water operator for Deer Springs Ranch. He's the one who makes sure that we stay in compliance with all the state's regulations and federal regulations and requirements. And it's a lot of work. And so we definitely need to have that expertise and that ongoing hands-on approach to make sure that we don't get into trouble with anybody. So it's a lot easier to stay out of trouble than it is to try to fix it once something bad happens. So thank you again, Jeff. We appreciate your efforts.
You're welcome.
Okay, so now on to item number 8, brief area of responsibility. I do not have anything to add in addition to what I have already said. So we will move on to Mr. Kurt Jacobson. Kurt, do you have anything to add?
No, that's about it for me.
Okay. And then Cindy, you are next.
Okay, well, I've got some good news for everybody except possibly Larry. We've got full work camper pads for the first 2 months, starting around the middle of April, maybe second week of April. Hopefully Cindy and Kevin will be staying on. They've been doing a fantastic job, and really, I don't know how we would have got it all done without them last year. So I'm expecting they will still be there in April, and I will be joining them, as will another work camper from California. Anyway, her name is Pat, and she'll be joining us. And then in June, we will be getting Lita. And, Kurt, you'll like this. We're getting a Kim, who is a retired vet tech. And she loves her chickens so much that while we were on the phone, one of them, like, you know, and I'm like, what's that? And she said, well, my chicken just laid an egg on the couch. So I'm hoping her housekeeping skills are as good as her veterinary skills. And then I have a couple of individuals that are friends that are thinking about coming a little late in the summer. So that's moving along really well this year, and hopefully Larry will have those sites ready for 3 people to be coming in by the second week of April. And that's about all I have.
Okay, thank you, Cindy. Appreciate that.
Any questions?
Doesn't look like it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Joe Bose, anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm good to go. Everything's about where it should be.
Okay. And unfortunately, John Harris is not with us today. He had another obligation. So, Kathy Pierce, it is your turn.
Oh, I don't have much other than I was at the ranch last weekend and went in through cabin 6 and 7 with the upgrades that were done. And I'd asked Kurt to get some pictures so we could show the members. So I went ahead and put them on. I know some people have already rented and knew some of the improvements, but it looks really nice. And so, but that's all I've got. Kurt's doing a great job.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kathy. And while we're talking about pictures, I made a cabin reservation, I forget, like a month ago, something like that. And when I was looking at the pictures for our cabins, it's very obvious a lot of those pictures are very old. So I'm not sure who's responsible for that, but at some point, one of us needs to take responsibility for upgrading those pictures that are available when you're in the process of making your cabin reservation.
Mike, I can take that on. We've got
besides me and the other work campers, we're in and out of those cabins all the time, and we see them when they're in great shape. So I can go ahead and take that on and put together a catalog of pictures that we can choose from to put on the website.
That is fantastic. Thank you very much, Cindy. Appreciate that. All right, and certainly not least, but last, is Mr. Larry Clarkson. Larry, are you still with us?
I'm here. I keep trying to click the little microphone on my by my name, and it doesn't do anything, and I keep clicking and clicking and clicking. I'll figure it out. Okay, so to alleviate any more anguish for Cindy so she can enjoy her vacation in Mexico without having to hit the bar too hard, I kind of started making a plan on RV pads, but the weather just kept fighting us, and so it's finally dry enough. We can start working, and I've caught up on a few other messes, so to speak. So this next week, I will get those done, and so no problem. We'll be ready. Clarify for me. We just need the three pads, correct?
That's correct. And I know that there was like a smaller one in the works, but let's get together on the size. We can do this offline on what the size of the third one is going to be. I know the one you finished first is great. The one that was next to it that we occupied last year is plenty long. Those are fantastic once those are done and smooth and ready to go. But, yeah, we will just need the three for April.
I think the one that I stacked the rocks and where pools currently are will probably actually be the smallest one of all. So all the other ones should be longer and accommodate longer trailers or vehicles, whatever we need. And I'll try to clean up some of that rock area, so additional parking, if anybody has other vehicles, they can park in the vicinity. I have a question. I don't know. We talked last fall and went through quite a bit on getting air gap vacuum releases on all the hydrants everywhere, and I don't know if that has been done. I know I and Kurt and Brent and Jeff Mickelson all talked some about that, and I believe Brent was going to pick some up, but don't know if that happened or not. In conjunction with working on the RV pads, I know we need to get some anti-siphon measures in place.
I talked to Brent about the anti-siphon nozzles a couple of weeks ago, and he said he was waiting. I forgot why, but he is going to put that order together with Shelson's, and then one of us will pick it up.
Okay. Jeff's showing a picture, and I don't know. I can't. Yes. Yep, that's it.
Yeah, I do know that it's in process. I just don't know exactly where it's at in the process, because we had authorized the purchase of at least 20 or 30 of those to be able to have enough to put on all of the existing connections and then have at least like half a dozen extras for the future.
Yes. The roads are looking pretty decent. Any of the roadways where I had removed snow, the bulk of the snow, are all dry and drivable. Roads that have snow set on them long term and all that moisture melts and sinks into the ground, then it takes another 2 months for it to dry out enough that you're not squishing and squashing everywhere. The Forest Service crew has moved in equipment and started grinding and shredding up in the forest. And they've made a little bit of a mess, but not terribly bad. And so we'll just see what needs to be done to clean that up and correct it. I have been talking with John Harris a little bit on some of the culvert work and road work that we need to do to make our roads safer.
One question came up last week that I didn't really have an answer for, and maybe Kurt or somebody else. Do we have any cabin at the ranch that's handicap accessible?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Well, yeah, 7 and 8 would be the two. 7, 8, 2 would be the best ones to make handicap. And it would be real easy just to add the ramp because those steps are at ground level.
Well, I think in our future planning, that's something that we have never addressed. And actually, Danielle asked me the question because of an inquiry. One member that's looking at buying wanted to come stay in a cabin and ask. And I said, no, the answer immediately is no. We have not made any handicap accessible, but possibly that's something we should maybe look at in the future to either pick one or another that we could make sure that the bathroom accessible, the doors are wide enough and ramps and such. So I just wanted to put that bug in everybody's mind.
Can you get those specs to me on that? And I'll see what to be done. I can measure those doors. Do you know how wide they have to be?
Off the top of my head, I can't. They've changed them, and so ADA doorway turning radiuses and bathroom, the type of fixtures, even your grab handles and all that stuff. We can get that and figure it out and see what we could potentially do. I don't know that it's a huge thing because we're not technically open to the public type thing. But, you know, who knows? I think it would be good for us to at least look into.
Well, in my experience with handicap in restaurants, I'm trying to think of one bathroom on this ranch that wouldn't have to have the walls knocked out.
Yeah. I started thinking about it a little bit because we've talked and thought a little about if we end up putting some kind of a bathroom facility around the fish pond recreation area and then also our current comfort stop there at headquarters. We could potentially have something there. It wouldn't be a bad idea, but I don't want to keep searching for problems that I don't have a solution to yet. Other than that, I don't have much of anything else to report or question. It looks like it's going to be a very active season. There are lots and lots of owners with one form or another of improvements going to be happening at their lots. We have several members who are planning to become part-time or even full-time residents at the ranch beginning this year. So we're transitioning rapidly. With that, I'm pretty much done, Mike.
Okay, Larry, thank you very much for that. Anybody have any questions for Larry? One final comment. I just want to make sure everybody knows that I mentioned at the beginning of our meeting the situation that we had with Tez Lyon staying in cabin number 8 for an extended period of time. And I could not thank Larry Clarkson enough. It is 99% Larry's hard work and effort and time that allowed Tez to get back up to her lot from cabin number 8. I can honestly say if it hadn't been for Larry, it should probably be in cabin number 8 until the middle of the summer. So, Larry, I just want to say on behalf of everyone on this call, thank you. We really appreciate all your time and all of your effort to assist one of our lot owners that was in a very difficult situation. So, can't thank you enough. And finally, we need to establish our date for our next board meeting. And the second Saturday, I believe, is April 9th. Is April 9th going to work for everyone?
Yes.
Anybody have concerns with the 9th?
Cindy's still going to be in Mexico.
I won't, but it is a travel day for us. I have no choice about that with Roger's work schedule. If I can, I will, just like this month. If I can do it, I will. If not, I'll talk to Jennifer. And
I'll always do minutes for you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll leave it. Anybody else have any potential concerns? No? Okay. So the 9th it is, April 9th. And we'll hopefully see Cindy there. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate everybody's participation. Jennifer, did we have any comments or anything in the chat section that I didn't see and we should probably mention?
No, some questions regarding when the fishing ponds are stocked, which I mentioned is generally right around Memorial Day. And mention of the what Larry just talked about, kind of the work by the heavy equipment operators on the fire mitigation program and clarifying that that's what it was. And a mention of some ice fishing on the upper ponds that may or may not be by members. So all we can do is post the requirements for usage and that it's for private use only. Enforcement has always been an issue that we haven't really had a solution to address. But I guess awareness is half of the situation, so just know that that's happening. So that's what came up in the chat.
Okay, thank you for that. All right, everybody, well, thanks again for your time. We appreciate it. We'll let you get on to your Saturday, and have a wonderful day.